ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनं भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो अंटिल नाउ वी हैव सीन दिस द फिफ्थ चैप्टर वी वर सीइंग which is on Hiranyagarbha, sorry, which is Omkara Upasanam. As I've given you the briefly everything, the last two verses, we have two more verses actually, five verses I've given them. So if a person practices this Omkara Upasanam, the Purna Omkara Upasanam, then as a result of which, a person will acquire punyam, which will help him eligible in terms of purity to go to be travel able to travel through Shukla Gati and go to Brahmaloka. When he goes there, how does he go to Brahmaloka? As a purified person, he goes. Because meditation, practice of this meditation, contributes for his mental cleanliness, the mental purity. So he goes to Loka as a purified person. Here the Upanishad gives an example, how is he purified? He is free from all the impurities. He becomes free from all impurities. How? Just as the snake. The snake, it develops its new skin. As it is developing, and when it really, when the new skin which is developing, it becomes full, so completely grown, then it, the old skin, it leaves aside. And then how it leaves, just as a human being removes his, leaves his old clothes away, it leaves like a dress. It leaves its old skin like how you leave your dress. Remove your dress, leave it aside, you walk out. The same way the snake leaves its skin and then it goes out. In the same way here, this person also is a completely, with a different skin, the snake moves out, leaving its old skin away. The same way this person, as a practice of meditation, being purified, leaving aside all the impurities, as a purified person, he becomes qualified to enter into Brahmaloka. And there he attains this Karma Mukti. Even going there also, he attains only what? He has to attain Jnanam for Mukti. Whether you attain Moksha as Sadyo Mukti in this world, right now here in this Janma itself, or you attain Moksha in the Brahmaloka, traveling through, having practiced meditation for the whole, throughout the life until the last breath, and having earned punyam and traveling through Shukla Gatihi, going to Brahmaloka also, you don't attain moksha there. Moksha muktihi is attainment of jnanam only. Attainment of jnanam is attainment of moksha, whether it is adyo muktihi or krama muktihi. Only thing is, to attain krama muktihi, you have to go all the way to Brahmaloka. And going to Brahmaloka involves the greatest effort and living the most seriously disciplined life, involving the serious practice of meditation, etc. It is not easily accomplishable. You have to work very hard to go to be able to travel through that loka, the pa gatihi, and attain Brahmaloka. And there you attain muktihi. Even then, to attain mukti, what? You attain jnanam only. Without jnanam, there is no muktihi moksha. So what the Upanishad teaches you so much, repeatedly it emphasizes this, what is your Purusharta? Never ever forget. Your Purusharta, what is your Parva Purusharta? What is the absolute end, ultimate end you need to accomplish? Why does Upanishad break his head to teach us Upasana? Not to really make us practice Upasana. When Upanishad discusses Upasana, he did not say how to practice Upasana. Upanishad does not teach us how to practice meditation. It only tells whoever practices this meditation, he goes to higher loka, this loka, that loka, how he goes, which devata blesses. So Rigveda devataha blesses one, Yajurveda devataha blesses this person, Samaveda devataha blesses, and these Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda devatas bless this person and help him to go to higher lokas, etc. Upanishad talks about. Upanishad does not say how to practice this. Why? Upanishad same is in karma, in Upasana Kanda, they will teach you also. In Upanishad only mention of the Upasanas, not the know-how of Upasanas. How to practice meditation is not mentioned here. You know why? Upanishad's aim is not to make you practice Upasanam. Upanishad's aim is to help you become more committed to the pursuit of Jnanam. How will you become more committed to the pursuit of one has to become totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge and make the best use of the study of the Upanishad and benefit from the study of the Upanishad in terms of attainment of Jnanam, so that the study of the Shastram serves its purpose, the whole life becomes a meaningful life. Why? When? Only when? Only when you attain Jnanam. So because Jnanam needs total commitment. Jnanam needs a focused attention. So for you not to be distracted, to know the limitation of everything, see, one can be totally focused. See, the being focused is the problem with all of us. We know the value of it, but how committed we are. Our commitment is dependent on how focused we are also. We may say we are committed. Are really focused enough? We are focused. We are adequately focused. For one to be totally committed, to be adequately focused, be totally focused, in the pursuit of knowledge, thereby to totally given to study of the Shastram, like Shastram Sharanam Gacchami, for which you need adequate Vairagyam. But we may talk about Vairagyam, we understand what is Vairagyam, we understand the meaning of the word Vairagyam. Vairagyam means dispassion. What is dispassion? Dispassion towards what? Dispassion does not mean running away from family, running away from the world, running away from money, running away from anything in the world. We cannot physically run away from anywhere. The dispassion is a maturity born of the understanding of the fact that what I want is moksha. Because moksha is my choiceless end. I have no choice. I am helplessly all the time, I am seeking freedom from limitations. And this freedom is something which cannot be attained, which has to be discovered. And to discover that freedom which is already there, I need to know the truth, and truth as my own Swarupa. And this truth is not, with the help of the Shastram, Pramanam, the instrument of Shastram, I need to discover my Swarupam. It's not simply discovering alone. Discovering, thereby resolving ignorance, and finally, and dwelling upon it repeatedly, assimilating it, ascertaining it, thereby I have to resolve all my habitual errors which I have been having through the proper orientation. The reorientation will help me to drop all the habitual errors which I still have even after Jnanam. That is where my moksha is. Then moksha is my choiceless end. That is the Purusharta. That is the Parapurusharta. That is the Purusharta. The whole life is lived for discovering moksha, which makes this life meaningful. And otherwise what? In terms of Jnanam only. Unless and until I attain Jnanam, I discover this, the return Isn't it? There's no way of resolving the antahkaranam. No way of resolving my antahkaranam. Why should I resolve my antahkaranam? You have not created your mind. Isn't it? The mind is already there as an instrument of knowledge given to you. The mind antahkaranam is there. This antahkaranam has to be resolved for good. It cannot be destroyed. It has to be resolved. Only in having the antahkaranam resolved, there is a videha muktihi. Punaragamanam is not there. It is returning. The rebirth is not there only if the videha mukti is possible, the real moksha is possible only if the mind resolves. For the antahkaranam to be resolved, you need what? Only jnanam. What jnanam? Knowledge of the very truth of the mind. You have to say, it's like when you say wave is water, ocean is water, you have to see all these thoughts, vritti viseshaha, vritti parinamaha, all these various multifarious thought modifications which constitute the antahkaranam and nothing but consciousness. The mind is every thought, all the thoughts, the entire mind is nothing but consciousness. So you have to need to know the truth of my very mind. You need to know the truth of the mind means you understand that desire is the truth, anger is the truth. You have to see the truth of all these various thought modifications being one and the same. How can you know? You cannot know the truth of the mind also just by knowing what that anger is. Only when you discover even this knowledge, the cognition, I am. With this knowledge of the existence of one's own self, obtaining in terms of from I am, that I, by discovering what this I is, by knowing what this I is, by knowing what I am, I am. I itself is what? I am itself is the knowledge of the existence of one's own self. And that is also manifest knowledge. By discovering the truth of that knowledge, where does this knowledge I am, exist? Isn't it? I am is knowledge. Where does it exist? Because it exists means what? It comes and goes. The knowledge I am also what? Comes and goes. The knowledge the world is comes and goes. How do you say it comes and goes? In waking knowledge it comes. In sleep it knowledge goes. Which knowledge goes? I am. The knowledge I am is there in the waking. The knowledge I am goes away in dream. So in deep sleep state. The world, knowledge the world is there in the waking. The knowledge the world is not there in the waking. In deep sleep state. Which means this knowledge also comes and goes means what is the source of this knowledge which manifests and becomes unmanifest? What is that knowledge which comes and goes? Jnanasyapi adharam kim arivukku arivai. What is that knowledge of the truth? The truth of the knowledge. Truth of the knowledge cannot be anything other than the knowledge. Truth of the knowledge is what? Knowledge. But how to distinguish the truth of the knowledge being knowledge and this knowledge? This knowledge which comes and goes is what? Manifest knowledge. And obtaining in the form of thought. The knowledge of existence of one's own self, obtaining in the form of thought which comes and goes, which is there in the waking, which is also in the deep sleep state. This knowledge is what? Manifest knowledge. Which means there is a pure knowledge which is from where this knowledge rises and resolves. When you discover, that's the only way. Understand the very truth of knowledge, reality of knowledge, existence of knowledge. Which knowledge? The knowledge of existence of one's own self, the knowledge of the existence of anything in the world which rises and resolves, which is not there all the time. The source of that knowledge is pure knowledge which does not come and go. the non-arriving, non-departing knowledge, which is the source of this arriving, departing knowledge. This arriving, departing knowledge is what? Manifest knowledge. The non-arriving, non-departing knowledge is what? Pure knowledge. And which is the truth. And that, therefore, in discovering that, dwelling upon that, assimilating that, you resolve the very ahankara. Resolving ahankara means what? Resolving the I-sense. Resolving the I-sense means discovering I am consciousness. Like wave is water, when you say I am consciousness, the world is consciousness, everything is consciousness, or I am everything. Isn't it? That vision should come. But this is the jnanam you need. This jnanam is mokshaha. Only in discovering this jnanam, understanding it, assimilating, dwelling upon it, assimilating it, ascertaining it, now there is a jivana mukti. The jivan mukti is what? Sadhyo mukti, attainable, accomplishable here in this life now itself. Which you don't need any special efforts. And this, once jivan mukti is there, the videh mukti is possible. For jivan muktasya, only for the person who has attained sadhyo mukti, for such a mind is called what? Really a mind, the mind which is cognitively resolved ahankara. The mind of cognitively resolved ahankara, the mind which is cognitively resolved, even when a person is alive, that mind, when the paradha gets over, when it departs, that will resolve for good. It will not come back again, taking rebirth. Why it will not come back? Because the mind is resolved, because there is no, because the ajnanam, the cause of the janma, karma is gone. Karma is resolved. Doership is resolved. Enjoyership is resolved. The smallness alone, I, is resolved. There's only fullness. The disease, ragadveshas, will get resolved. You are not dropping, giving up anything there. The disease, ragadveshas, all the problems, they resolve in jnanam. Effortlessly they resolve. Therefore, there's a returning is not possible. That is what is videha mukti. Jivan mukti choicelessly will be followed by videha mukti. Without jivan mukti, there's no way of attaining videha mukti. Before leaving this body, at least one can attain moksha. Discover. Therefore, that resolution of mind is dependent on jnanam only. How can you say wave is water and resolve the wave cognitively in the water unless you know water being the truth? So resolution of mind is dependent on what? Discovering the very truth of the mind as the truth of the vritti jnanam aham. Isn't it? Therefore, here, that is the, this whole life is that purushartha, if we do not forget. Isn't it? Then, naturally, you will be what now? You know the value of this knowledge, and you know the limitation of all forms of karma phalam. The highest, the greatest benefit one can enjoy as a result of performing any ritual, any karma, including the practice of Hiranyagarbha Upasana, etc., also any upasanam, accomplish Brahma Loka also is what now? That is the highest you can have. And even after going there also, for you to accomplish the absolute, you need only jnanam. For that jnanam, we don't need to really make a lot of efforts to go there, cut in here itself. To understand this fact, isn't it? Thereby to discover, to develop dispassion towards even all these lokas. Loka praptavapi, loka eshana api, one should live. A sannyasi, when you understand, even in white dress also, sannyasi only. With the eshana, loka eshana also will go. The desire for higher worlds also will resolve. Otherwise, there will be interest, no? Let me go and see you at least once. One will just go and see that Eshana, isn't it? Eshana Tretyaga, they say, Loka Eshana. The more we hear about the Loka's description, the more we'll be interested in going. So Loka Eshana also should resolve. It's only to discover dispassion towards the enjoyment of heavenly pleasures and the Lokas, the travel, isn't it? Tourism and travel programs. What now? Upanishad is discussing this Upasana and the Upasana Phalam. Upanishad does not tell you how to practice meditation, how to benefit from that. Notice this. So this is discussing. So Purushartha, this is the only way to help us discover vairagyam towards, see, we are not practicing meditation. And it is not practical also for us to practice. We won't be given to practice meditation. Upanishad tells for those people who, those days, who are seriously given to practice of meditation, oh, we'll meditate. Just to tell you the limitation so that you will focus more on Shravanam and Mananam. Once you do Shravanam and Mananam, nobody can stop you from being meditative. You will not be doing meditation after Shravanam. You will be helplessly, choicelessly meditative after Shravanam. Upanishad's ultimate aim is to help you to be meditative, contemplative always. Not a fixed time meditation as a karma. In jnanam, you will always be contemplative. Isn't it? What is being contemplative? Not losing sight of the truth is being contemplative. That is what Upanishad is aiming at. Use the will to be contemplative initially. Later on, you will be contemplative naturally. When the ascertainment happens, you will be contemplative yourself. Therefore, this is Shravanam and Mananam. Focus on Shravanam. So, understand, resolve the ignorance, have jnanam, repeatedly dwell upon, resolve, have the doubts resolved, then be contemplative to get rid of, to have the reorientation, to get rid of the habitual errors, alter, to resolve those habitual errors, they will ascertain and have a clear vision that remains steadfast in the vision, so you'll never lose sight of the vision of the truth. How many ever waves I see, but I never miss what now? Vision of the water. Like that, Upanishad's aim is that. For that purpose, Upanishad is discussing all this again. Omkara Upasana also is discussing in this context. Now, so how Rigveda Mantraha, Rigveda Mantra Devataha, it seems, take this Upasaka who practices meditation upon this Akara Visishta or Akara Pradhana Omkara Upasanam to this higher loka, the Manushya loka. Then similarly, Yajurveda Devataha take this Upasaka, meditates upon this Ukara Pradhana Omkara Upasanam to the Swarga loka or Chandra loka. Then one who practices this Makara Visishta Omkara Upasanam, especially, in fact, last Upasana is like complete meditation, is total Omkara Upasanam, one who practices, and he will go to Brahma Loka. So anyway, Upasana Phalam, Upasanam as a mental activity, the highest benefit is only going to Brahma Loka. Upasanam itself does not give you moksha. It helps you to reach Brahma Loka. After reaching there again, you have to attain jnanam there in Brahma Loka, you attain moksha. Therefore, we call it a karma muktihi. Instead of attaining here, go there all the way, then attain jnanam, attain moksha, it is karma muktihi. What is made clear is, whether you attain moksha there or here, mukti is only, jnanam is muktihi. knowledge is freedom, whether it is attained here in this world or in the Brahmaloka. So meditation is only an indirect means for attaining Krama Muktihi, not direct means. What is direct means for Mukti? Jnanam. In fact, we don't even say Jnanam is Mukti. Jnanam is a means for accomplishing Moksha. He said just for initially, but actually speaking, knowledge is freedom. That is made very clear. Thereafter, in the 6th and the 7th mantras, the same thing. The benefit of meditation also we have to talk, isn't it? Palashruti like. It is... So the limitation of the meditation also is mentioned here. It says, in the 6th mantra it says, whoever practices this meditation, how Omkara Upasanam, how does he practice? Actually, it meditates upon these three sounds of Omkara separately. Whoever practices each of the any one of the matra, akara upasanam, akara visishta upasanam, or ukara visishta upasanam, or separately, instead of meditating upon omkara as a whole, if a person is given to meditation upon omkara as the different matra, as a one sound of the omkara, if a person which stands for different devatas, he is given to practice of meditation, then what he says, definitely that such a meditation will not free him from mortality. See, practice of upasanam will not free one from maranam. It is mrityu yuktaha. Mrityu is mrityu matyaha. Why mrityu matyaha? Why? He says, because it will not free you from death. You can't escape death. Maranam, which means still you will be a mortal. Once you are a mortal, means what? The upasana phalam will not free you from mortality, means you will be a mortal, there will be fear of death. There will be fear, there will be duality, there will be bondage, there will be sorrow also. Samsara will be there. Whereas, if a person practices meditation upon this Omkara as a whole, understanding each sound standing for a given manifestation, and understanding their interconnectedness, how they are interconnected, inseparably interconnected, knowing their inseparable interconnection, understanding the inseparable interconnection between the sounds, akara, ukara, makara sounds. Symbolizing subtle, gross, unmanifest universe. If a person practices meditations properly, then such a person alone will not fall. Such a person does not fall means he does not fail in his effort. There is no failure in his effort for such a person. What it openly says is, the words are not very complete words. If a person is given to the practice of Omkara Upasanam, only Akara Pradhana Omkara Upasanam if a person is practicing, or Ukara Pradhana Omkara Upasanam if a person is practicing, then such a person's the fruit of such a meditation will not free him from mortality. When a person understands the Omkara properly, all the sounds which constitute the Omkara as symbolizing the threefold manifestations, understanding their inseparable interconnection, one who practices Omkara as a whole, and he will not shake, he will not fall, which means he will not be a failure, his efforts will be fruitful. Okay, this is the what the mantra, sixth mantra says. Then the seventh last mantra of the fifth chapter beautifully concludes. So that conclude, the way the mantra is concluded, that gives rise to an opportunity for a student to ask a question. What is that Brahman? So the last chapter will be what? Brahma Jnanam. Is it actually Vedanta comes only in Upanishad Anta. All the chapters discuss other things. So what he says, when a person practices this Omkara as a whole, not only one matra, dvimatra, trimatra, one who practices Omkara Upasanam, the Purna Omkara Upasanam, then what happens? Such a person, the meditator who practices Omkara Upasanam, having Omkara as a Purna Omkara, then he, Rigveda Dev, he is taken to Brahmaloka. How? Rigbihi, Ajurbihi, Samabihi. He is taken to the devatas of all the three Vedas. Rigveda devatas, Ajurveda devatas, Samaveda devatas. And all these, see, also it tells the greatness of Upasana also. All these devatas will take this person to Brahmaloka. Take me, don't take literally, like how you take a child somewhere. Listen, which means some punyam that it helps. Devatas, they take this person to the loka, higher loka. And one can go to higher loka. That much Upasana Palam does. Now, once you go to Brahma loka, then there one attains jnanam. And as a result of attaining jnanam, one attains krama muktihi. And when the person attains jnanam there, what does this person see? He attains the knowledge of absolute reality, and which is of the nature of shantam, ajaram, amrutam, abhayam, param, cha param, anveti. Upanishad says this. He said that shantam, ajaram, amrutam, abhayam, param, anveti. I'll repeat it. Shantam, ajaram, amrutam, abhayam, param, vidvan, anveti. What are these words? Shantam, ajaram, amrutam, abhayam. These four words reveal this nature of Brahman, absolute reality, Atma. Atma Swarupa Pratipadakaha Shabdaha. So he attains, he discovers absolute reality as very Swarupam, which is of the nature of Shantam. Shantam, which is free from sorrowless, free from sorrow. Old age, which is timeless, then free from mortality, which is also fearless, free from fear. The reality which is free from fear, mortality, old age and sorrow. So being free from mortality, fear and sorrow, aging, old age is what? Very nature of the reality. Such reality this person discovers. the reality of such nature. Shantam, Shantam, Ajaram, Amritam, Abhayam, Param, this person, Anveti. He discovers the true swarupam of the reality as one's own self, where? In Brahmaloka, which is Kramamuktihi. So it is a discovery of reality which is of that nature as one's own self is what? Moksha. It is not the upasana phalam. It is the jnana phalam only. You have to make it very... Moksha is jnana phalam. Moksha is not upasana karma phalam. Okay? With this, the seventh chapter is over. Seventh mantra is over. Of the fifth question also is over. What a sixth question is there, we'll see in the afternoon. Okay. Before going, I want to tell you one thing. I didn't read out the mantras now. We'll do that. So now it is what now? There is a room for the other student. Or the teacher has explained what is attainment of muktihi, kramamuktihi, even in Brahmaloka. Attainment of kramamukti in Brahmaloka implies attainment of knowledge of the Brahman reality. Attainment of knowledge of Brahman reality means what? Not as an object but as its own swarupam. Where one resolves one's individuality, where one resolves one's wrong identity, where one has perspective change. Only in perspective change there is moksha. Perspective change comes even when? After going to Brahmaloka. Here you never had. After going there, one can have perspective change, one can have vision of the reality, not as an object but as one's own swarupam. The one attains. And that jnanam is kramamuktihi. Then this person thinks, should we go all the way to Brahmaloka, work very hard to get tickets to this Shuklagati and go to travel and all those things, then attain moksha, why can't I know that Brahman here itself? The next question, the student is very intelligent student, oh, kim tad Brahma? He's going to ask, what is that ajaram? Shantam, ajaram, amrutam, abhayam, brahma, tat kim? Tat brahma kim? What is that? Shantam, ajaram, amrutam, abhayam. Repeatedly hearing, abhayam brahma, amrutam brahma, amrutam brahma, ajaram brahma, shantam brahma, tat kim? Why he wants to know? If knowing that Brahman as myself is moksha, then why should I go all the way there? I can't attain moksha here itself. Is it clear now? So, now this person is interested in jnanam. Brahma jnanam. Why? Brahma jnanam is moksha. Brahma jnanam, where is Brahma jnanam is what? Atma jnanam. I want only moksha. That is, only jnanam can give me that moksha. Then why should I travel all the way? Let me know now itself. He is asking the question instead of asking preaching meditation. The student is a very brilliant student, intelligent student. He did not ask the teacher, please teach, oh teacher, teach me meditation. Let me practice this and go to Brahmaloka. No. What is that Brahman? He did not show any interest in Brahmaloka. He did not show any interest in travel. Let me see the Ganga Valley, go through how it is, the road to Badrinath, Kedarnath. Even we are curious even to see these roads. And this person is not interested in Shuklagatihi. After going through this world, I was thinking, oh, how the Shuklagati would be? You should go and see, the Shuklagatihi. What is a solar path? What is this? Now let me travel. No, he was not least bothered. He didn't want to know what Shuklagati is, how it takes, and who are the devatas taking them to Brahmaloka. He is not at all interested. He suddenly asks, what now? He only is asking, As soon as he waited for the teacher to complete that lesson, as soon as he completed, he asked, Shantam, Shantam, is it Shantam, Amrutam, Abhayam, Ajaram, Brahma, Tad Brahma Kim? What is that Brahman? I only want that Jnanam. That is going to be the question, the sixth question asked by that the sixth disciple. And where the teacher has to helplessly teach, what no, give Brahma Vidya. And with which, attaining which Jnanam, one can have Jivan Mukti, not Krama Mukti. So now the next topic will be Jivan Mukti, attainable now here in this life, in this Janma, which is nothing but attainment of knowledge of the reality of the entire cosmos as one's own Swarupam, where one can cognitively resolve the duality and plurality, resolve one's individuality in totality. This is the lesson. Now, if you have any doubts until now, whatever you have said, you can ask. So I just quickly said the whole content of the mantras like a story, isn't it? Instead of reading out the mantras, because you didn't have the books. But tomorrow we'll properly have what? The last chapter. Okay? And that day I just took some notes you were writing. It was very clear, wasn't it? That is now Omkarma Upasam. What is Saguna Brahma Upasam? Aparam Brahma or Param Brahma? What is Param Brahma? How Omkara Upasanam? Omkara serves as a symbol for both Aparam Brahma and Param Brahma.
Is it possible to ask?
Yeah.
I understand from, I think I heard from this chat, that the meditation of the syllable Om, it's not advisable for people that is not a sannyasa. That is not a sannyasa, that is better to meditate upon other mantras.
That's different content, I tell you.
Yes.
See, generally what happens, here it is, so Omkara Upasana, it's only Upasana is mentioned. How to do Omkara Upasana is not mentioned here. It's not to Omkara Upasana. See, for sannyasis, the pranava mantra upadesha is done for sannyasis. I reveal the secret to you. Pranavaha is the sannyasis supposed to meditate upon pranava. And when pranava means not simply like this, it is not saguna upasana. When we see omkara upasana and we are supposed to do, we see the whole om as Ishvara, and resolve the Ishvara in Param Brahma also. We say, it's a sahankara. It is, two ways of seeing. If I imagine in a meditation that myself being non-separate from the Lord, if I imagine myself being non-separate from the Lord, okay, it is upasana. Okay, only imagine. But if I understand myself being non-separate from the Lord, it is jnanam. Which is jnanam, which is upasana. If I see myself being identical, if I imagine myself being identical with the Ishvara, it is upasana, ahangraha upasana. If I understand myself being non-separate from Ishvara, myself being identical with Bhagavan, it is jnanam, isn't it? So a sannyasi is supposed to understand this, isn't it? Then we are supposed to do pranava upasana. See, pranava upasana, what happens? It will contribute for dispassion, vairagya. So young people who are not yet ready for this sannyasa life, so they are supposed to do pranava upasana. Not only young people, sometimes people say, your grihasthas, they'll say, don't do omkara upasana. It's not only omkaram. We have to keep on saying, we're asked to say all the time Om should be going on in the mind. It becomes a habit actually for us, repeatedly saying. When you say Om, 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 you're going to notice when you go, somebody goes into namaskar, how many say Om, Om, Om. When you say that, repeatedly if you say Omkar like that, you know, it will the Omkar japa. But not mechanical japam, you also know the meaning. What akara stands for, what ukara stands for, what makara stands for, what amatra stands for. So prathama matra, dvitiya matra, tritiya matra and amatra stand for. How Omkara as a whole, it's a symbol of, isn't it, Sagunam Brahma Ishvara and Nirgunam Brahma, Nirgunam Chaitanyam Brahma Atma also. So you see, the whole is Ishvara, all that is here is Omkara. When you said with that understanding, if we have, then we are asked to meditate upon Omkara, then it will make a person very dispassionate soon. If a person seriously is given to the practice of meditation, you may be talking and all those things, really vairagyam, a lot of vairagyam is there in the mind. But suppose not knowing what you're doing, if simply somebody does Omkara meditation or Upasana, if he does, he is not ready for jnanam also. So it is not advisable. So that is what he mentioned. Better do Om. I can say Namo Dakshinamurti Mantra. I do some simple Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Shivaya. That now you can say. But not Om, purely Om. You can include Om in other mantras and chant mantra. Namo Shiva, Om Namo Shivaya japam you do. So that make it a manasa japa. Make it a meditation. So prepare to discipline for meditation. See, once Nididhyasanam becomes your focus, isn't it? You are interested in Nididhyasana. And which is Nididhyasana, we don't need to make any effort. You will automatically, Nididhyasana means what? Nididhyasana is a contemplation. What is contemplation? Mental activity. What is mental activity? Meditation. So contemplation is a meditation. But what is object of meditation? Your own swarupam. And how have you understood it? Through Shravanam and Mananam. There's no doubt, isn't it? So swa swarupa anusandhanam is contemplation. Swa swarupa anusandhanam. Continuously, constantly dwelling upon the reality as one's own swarupam, which one has heard, understood, assimilated, which one is constantly dwelling upon. It's called what now? So swarupa anusandhanam, that is absolutely you shravanam have done. Manam you have done, naturally you can easily see that, you can be in contemplation. Minimum, I used to tell people ask me, do you practice meditation? I said, no, I don't do meditation, I'm always in meditation. How can I make other person understand, am I always in meditation? Isn't it? That's something different, they have to see that. So you don't need to make, if Ravanam is done, and you will know how to be contemplative. That's why you don't need to teach meditation at all here. But meditation as a discipline, Shastram also emphasizes, for antakkana naisthalyam, very distracted and agitated person, he needs to be, he needs some, being very, it's better to be given to some practice of some meditation, which will calm the mind. It's as a, isn't it? So here, so what we say, people who are given hari of the Shastram, they can practice what is japa. The japa itself becomes meditation for us. The contemplation is the meditation. Anything else you practice is what? If you practice very any other meditation or japa meditation, japa means what? When japa becomes meditation, we call meditation a preparatory discipline for actual meditation. What is actual meditation? Meditation upon one's own swarupam. How meditation means what? You don't see really. It's not that keeping your eyes so close and then seeing only that object, thinking of the only object. No, is it all the time seeing the fact of what I am? It is typically like see what all the time You see the movements and motion, you get stuck there. Instead what? How many ever waves come, how much ever they move around, however they distractive and then attractive, I don't lose sight of the fact of wave is water. Wave is water. The wave goes there, wave comes here, and wave is mixing other waves and it just goes. I do see all those things. The same time, one thing is what? Wave is water. Wave is water. There's no wave, only water. Wave is water, there's no wave. Wave is only seeming appearance of water. There's only water. Wave is water. Wave is not tucham. Wave is not asat. Wave is not sat also. Then what is wave then, isn't it? Wave is neither tucham, neither not sat, not asat. What now? It is anirvachaniyam. Sadasat anirvachaniyatva. Sadasat, isn't it? Sadasat, we say, this is anirvachaniyam. It is non-definable. You have to say what? Sadasat is mithya. But what is mithyadam? Mithya means mithya. It is as though. Actually, what is only water? Whether like it or not, it is use. People may think, what is the use of knowing all this? You appease my hunger. If you ask, no, you have to go and eat to appease your hunger. You have to drink to quench your thirst. It's all relative biological needs, dharma. You have to do the needful. But still, eating and drink itself will not take, will not, was now, really take care of all our needs also. We have emotional needs are also there, isn't it? What you need to do to sort out your given needs. Physical needs are different, emotional needs are different, isn't it? Therefore, you have to do the needful. So the relative things, you need relative. You have to do something. At the same time, this is something, how this is repeatedly seeing, isn't it? That is Nidhyasanam, for which you need only Shravana. So Omkar Upasam, any japa also becomes what? Only preparatory discipline. What is Vedantic meditation? What is actually for a mumukshu, for a jignyasu, what sort of meditation a mumukshu should do? A jignyasu should do. It's only Swarupa Anusandhanam. But how can you do? I don't need to tell you how to do it. The Nidhyasana we need not teach you. Do Shravanam and Mananam, then you take, say bye to the teacher, go away. And just you know how to be just by yourself. First of all, only in clear understanding you will know how to be by yourself without phoning, calling, writing letters, emails. No? Of course, see, doing that, sometimes necessity is there, you do. But actually, Vivikta Deha Sevitva means not sitting somewhere alone, but all the writing emails and 24 times phone, making phone calls. That is not the way. And keeping pictures, most ridiculous thing, okay? Pictures and seeing all the time, oh, I miss. Isn't it? Where is this passion, Vairagya? Just being by oneself. So, Nidhyasanam will come, isn't it? Something different. So any japam, anything you do is only pre-preparatory discipline for actual meditation, which is Swarupa Anusandhanam. See, what we need is Vairagyam, we need to develop. We have Vairagyam. I'm not saying we don't know Vairagyam at all. We don't need, Vairagyam cannot be bought, isn't it? So it cannot be imposed. Come on, take, go to the shop and buy. Very cheap. 5 sets, 6 sets, 7 sets. No. Vairagyam we cannot buy. It's purely born of maturity, understanding. We have to only be with the facts to develop that. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.